Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vasquez, and welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inner Shoes Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Boo. Yes, of course that boo signals it's that time of year when the old Hallows ghosts come out and we signal a time for children and children of all ages to be happy and rejoice at the sugar-coated treats that come to them in lieu of a trick. And of course, Dennis bills go up right afterwards. It is Halloween, and we welcome you to this podcast. And you say, wait a minute, we thought this was the Armenian Orthodox podcast, and you're talking about Halloween. Father Voskin, did you buy into that whole commercialism, and are you now one of those Halloween people? Actually, I always have been.
No brag, just fact.
And I'll fill you in a few minutes how that plays right into Armenian Orthodoxy, but before doing that, let's talk about this time of year, not only Halloween, but every 4 years we get the big ghosts and goblins hitting us, yes, from the political circus, and we are ready to cast our vote here in America for the next president of the United States. And what a circus it has become. People who have ideas of helping other people are getting labeled communists, and yes, Marxism is resurfacing. Marx and Engels, of all people, have shown their way into American politics once again because people want to assist others, and maybe it's okay if you want to help somebody, but if you take it from the rich and give it to the poor, is that like Robin Hoodism or is that Marxism? Well, we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. Don't get so worked up. We still are a religious broadcast, but it is very important that we talk about how to help other people. And that falls right into our neck of the woods, so to speak. In other words, we do have obligations to others, and that is part of our responsibility, not only as Christians, as human beings. So, when politicians talk about it, we need to be listening. And of course, when we cast our vote, you do need to cast depending on your own preferences, sure, but on your own values too. We'll be looking at those in a few minutes, and then we'll get back right to Halloween, to Christianity, and how we all, as Christians, probably participate in Halloween just about every day. I mean, think about it. Do we wear masks? And what's under those masks? Presidential debates are over and people are ready to vote. It is election day. Well, at least a couple days from now, we will be voting here in America for the next president of the United States. And the two main contenders are Obama and McCain. And I just found out that there's a few others, too. I voted a little bit early because I'm going to be skipping town on day of election, and I won't be around. I'm going to be working for one of the campaigns outside of the area. And so when I got my early ballot, I saw that there was other people. There were other people. And, of course, every year we have them. We have libertarians. We have peace and freedom, which I thought, I always think, like, you know, why am I not a member of Peace and Freedom? What a cool name for a party. But for some reason, these guys never get the publicity, and it always comes down to Democrat and Republican. I think the closest that I remember it ever came to was a guy named Perot, who came out as an independent, or I forgot what party it was, but that was the closest that I remember to something in a three-party system. And of course, a lot of times when I look at other political systems, particularly in Armenia, where you have something like 20, 30 parties vying for that electoral seat, you wonder, wow, how come here in America we only got two? But of those two contenders, of course, this political season has been a hot one in terms of faith. What do these people believe? And if you remember, we began this series of podcasts with that whole idea that, you know, is it important what someone believes? And certainly it is. If you come from a background that believes in helping the poor, then shouldn't your politics or the candidate that you endorse and vote for also reflect your conscience and your beliefs? In other words, someone who cares about helping the poor. How he or she does that is another issue, but the very basic tenet that does that person believe in extending himself or extending the country for the benefit of the downtrodden, for the poor? That's an important question. If your faith is about peace or lasting peace, you adhere to the teachings of a man who we refer to as the Prince of Peace, then shouldn't we be concerned about somebody who will lead this country in the paths of peace? Now, of course, the difficulty comes up, how do you bring about peace? Do you do that with a weapon? Do you do that with wars? Do you do that in a bullying fashion? Those are all different methods, but basically the idea that this is what I believe and therefore this is how I will vote is a very important one and a very logical one. The idea that we shouldn't talk about politics and religion, that our moms told us, you don't talk about those things in mixed company, and certainly among the people that you love and care for. Well, that's fine. It may cause us some kind of grief, and we may get a little bit upset with especially people that we love. But isn't that the bottom line, that if we're living in this world, we have a responsibility to care for it? And the means by which we do that is through our political world, a real political world. And certainly we could look at small things in life. For instance, I could never afford to have a fire department, and therefore I pay my taxes expecting that there is going to be a fire department ready should I need it. Should I need to put out a fire, there is a group of people that I could not afford otherwise, but they are ready to help out in that way. Roads, I could never possibly in my life afford the road between Los Angeles and San Francisco, but I pay my taxes and expect the government to build and maintain that road that collectively we all use and we all share, and that road becomes part of this government structure and the infrastructure. And in the same way, when we get to some of the bigger things in life, it's important that we put them in perspective. Now, we have candidates today who are promising a lot of things. Those of you here in America who will be voting for candidates, not only president, but of course, Senate seats are up, representative seats are up. There's a slew of different political issues that always come up during these election years, I mean, with the presidential election. It is important to vote your conscience. Your religion, your faith, your belief systems have to be reflected in the way you live and the decisions you make. That's why we've taken all this pain for these past several weeks to talk about religion and politics. Yes, you can say both of them together. It is not rude. You may offend one or two people. You may offend people that you love, but you have to stick firm to your beliefs. And your beliefs, and there isn't anybody who could tell me they're not religious. Even if you don't believe in some higher order, the so-called, the quote-unquote God that everyone else believes in, you still believe in something. You certainly believe in yourself because you're alive. And your religion and your beliefs will dictate and set the course, or are the instruction sheet by which you live. And so when you make a decision Tuesday here in America for the next president or for the next senator or representative, make it according to your personal belief. Make it according to what you believe is true. And I'm not saying this in any fanatical manner, more than just saying be true to yourself. Because in the end, you're the one who's making that decision, and your decision, whether it's for the President of the United States or a simple decision tomorrow of what you're going to do with your family, is a decision that's made with the full responsibility that comes from a mature person. That's it. That's the word right there. Responsibility. I mean, that's what religion has to do. That's what everything has to do with. Taking responsibility and responsible actions, but definitely responsibility for our lives. One of our listeners sent me in this quote from Thomas Jefferson. Think about that for a moment. Thomas Jefferson, one of the framers of the Constitution, brilliant, brilliant man who gave us America as we know it. He says, I believe that banking institutions... What? Thomas Jefferson talking about banking institutions? You mean what's happened here in the world today has its roots back then? Actually, he said this in 1802. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson, 1802. Isn't that wild? I mean, think about that for a moment. Basically talking about when we fail to take responsibility for our lives, we turn it over to someone else, and they're the people who run it for us. That's not the way we should be living. That's not what God wants us to be doing. He gave us a life for each and every one of us to take responsibility and to enjoy. But if you don't take that responsibility, it will be taken away. It will be taken away from you, whether it's by force or otherwise. It will be taken away, and then what happens is you become basically in some vegetative state. Now, you know, I'm talking figuratively, but I hope you're putting the dots together. Because how many people do we have who go through the motions but are basically dead? You have people today who are living but are dead. In other words, they're able to breathe, they're able to function in this world, but their enjoyment levels are so low because they've put all of their responsibility onto other people rather than taking the responsibility on themselves. And so when you vote, it is essential that you reflect what your belief system is all about. Thomas Jefferson talks about the banking system and what happened. We relied on other people despite knowing, as we say in the confession, while knowing the evil, yet I willingly gave away. While knowing there was no free ride, I went ahead and I signed away for those subprime loans. While knowing that I couldn't afford that house, I went ahead and borrowed more than I could afford. While knowing that the bank couldn't do that, the bank was able to give us those loans and gave you those loans on a signature. You know, we talk about responsibility on a personal level. The governments need to hold their end of the bargain too. And so when you go in to vote, you need to think about all of these aspects. Not just peace, but alongside of peace is justice. Because when you do have justice, you definitely have peace. A few months ago, we talked about the situation in Darfur, and especially in the refugee camps, where how many times over and over the refugees that are sitting there talk about justice. Until justice is served, there is no peace. And certainly, when you go and vote, you need to make that vote a reflection of that justice system that you have in your heart. For us as Christians, as Armenian Orthodox Christians, that justice system begins with a complete commitment to the love, to the fellowship that is taught to us by Jesus Christ. Where there are poor, where there are sick, where there are hungry, you need to rise to the occasion to put away your selfish thoughts and live your life for others. When you look at Jesus' life and you look at his teachings, there's one thing that hits you no matter which part of the Gospels you read, is that Jesus was never judgmental. He talked a good talk, but he never came down on anybody. He sat with the sinner, he sat with the robber, with the adulterer, with the thief, with the murderer, but the one person that he could not stand and constantly raised his finger and said, "You are the problem here," was the hypocrite. Over and over he says, "Do not be like them. They are hypocrites. They say one thing, but they live another thing." They have a set of rules that they are able to profess, and some of them do it so beautifully, but in their lives don't reflect that profession. Think about that for a moment. Their lives do not reflect their beliefs. Jesus tells us very clearly, do not be like the hypocrite. The guy who gets up and says, "Do as I say, but not as I do." Or the guy who says that we believe in helping the poor, but isn't willing to reach into his pocket. Or the guy that says, "I believe in peace," but is ready to pick up any weapon he can against his brother. Or the guy who says, "I love God," but is filled with hatred against his brother. And this hypocrisy is the next part of what I want to talk about. Because it's not just a vote that takes place on election day, but it is a vote that we need to take every single day.
Oh.
Vork Zartaretsik. That was the name of that hymn sung to us by the young men over at the Vazgenyan Seminary at Lake Sevan. And this hymn is a special one that is sang on the Feast of the Holy Translators. It was a few weeks ago, but I brought it up now because throughout the month of October, we celebrated many different saints. And saints, in a sense, are translators, people who take complex thoughts and ideas and are able to refine them and translate it for our understanding. And in a sense, not only were Mesrop Mashtots and Tavit Anhacht, these people who were part of the group of translators, Nerse Schnorrali, if you notice, they are all people from different periods of time, but they receive this title of translator because they take the complex and make it very simple. But along with that, we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Evangelists, of the 72 Apostles, and so on. All of these people, in a sense, have passed along the faith to us. And they have received a higher calling by us as humans. Now, a few minutes ago, we talked about Jesus not pointing the finger at anybody and saying that you are at fault. He's not judgmental. But in a different way, we have elevated people to the status of sainthood. And these are all saints. Now, on November 1st, the Armenian Church celebrates a feast this year called the All Saints Feast, Amenain Serpots, All of the Saints. Now, why are these very special? Well, saints, in a sense, are not gods. And I think that's the power of the saints. Now, listen to me real carefully, because I know a lot of people get all bent out of shape. Well, I don't need a saint. Yeah, who needs a saint? I don't need anybody to pray to. I want to just pray to God. Of course, they're the first people who don't pray to God. Oh, jeez. I gotta stop saying those things. But you know what I'm saying is, like, people get all upset about this or that person praying to a saint and deifying these saints. Well, let me be really clear and upfront about everything. We do not worship saints. We do not worship anybody except God. Anything except God. God the Eternal. But saints are not there to be worshipped. Saints are there because they have been elevated in this life. And you say, well, why am I not elevated? I don't know why you're not elevated, but I'll tell you why these people were. Because given the chance to be characteristically human, they opted, and that's the important word right there. They opted for sainthood. They opted to live the divine life, the divine calling. And every one of these saints are people who are human beings having the same condition that you and I have, having the same frailties, the disgust in our life that we go through, the same disappointments, the same temptations, and then rising to the occasion. In other words, these people are examples to us. Now, you can look at Jesus all you want as an example. And I tell you, you have to look at him as the ultimate example. But no matter what you do, you'll never reach perfection. Because you're human. That's part of the equation. That's part of the being. You always have desires. You always have anticipation, anxiety. You have pain. You have fear. All things that keep you short of perfection. But what's neat about the saints is this, that they were just like you and me. They too had short fuses. They too were short of perfection. They too had disappointments and had difficulties and temptations, but were able to rise to the equation. Now that's an example for me. Because unlike Jesus, who could not do wrong, these people could do wrong and they didn't. Or at least they took the high road. And it's a challenge for us to do the same. That I know that Jesus was perfect doesn't help me because I say, I'm not Jesus. But when I see a saint, a person doing something good, I can't back away. There's no excuse there. I can't say, well, he was a saint. No, he was a human being. He had frailties. He had temptations. And he was able to rise to the occasion. And in this sense, the saints occupy a very special place in our spiritual life. As Orthodox Christians, it is a very, very special relationship that we have with the saints. And on November 1st, we celebrate All Saints Day, Hallows Day. Now, one night before Hallows Day is the eve of that. In Armenian, Nahadonag, a special celebration. But on the eve of Hallows Day, there were all kinds of traditions to not only recognize the life of the saints, but also those who have passed. And we use the intercession of the saints. You say, and many times we say that, okay, why do I need the intercession? I should only have Jesus interceding for me. Well, that's kind of nice, and certainly in the scriptures there's foundation for that. But it's not to say that you can't have an intercession of saints. You say, well, saints are dead. No, they're not. That's what we believe, that people do not die, that the soul is eternal. That when I ask for the intercession of, say, St. Andrew, or St. Philip, or St. Thomas, St. Mary or Haripsimerogayane, St. Santurt or Gregory, I am conjuring up images of people who have occupied space and time, but certainly they have transcended that space and time by virtue of their faith and their deeds. And that's why they've been elevated to the status of sainthood. But when you look at the saints, you look at their lives, and you say, here's an opportunity for me to do likewise. But because we don't know anything besides that tangible side, in other words, those years that they've been here, that space-time that they have occupied, we can only guess at the rest of it. And that gives way for all kinds of thought and impressions. And when you look at a feast like Hallows Eve, Halloween, it is a time when our imaginations go crazy with not only life, but certainly with death. And we start thinking about that spirit world. And so what comes to mind? Ghosts, hauntings, spirits. That's what it's about. That's how we get this whole tradition about Halloween. And sometimes, unfortunately, as grown-ups, as people with a little bit of common sense, so we think, we forget that, you know, nobody knows what's on the other side. People have tried, but why don't we just put our guards down a little bit and kind of go with the flow instead of trying to build everything into something that it's not. Hallows Eve happens to be a spiritually filled evening that you can take advantage of to teach some very basic truths. The truth that life does go on, the truth that there are people who have been challenged by life but have hit it straight on and have won. And have been called saints. And you can take this in any way you want. Now, you know, Harry Houdini, who was just a master of illusion and manipulation. I mean, what a person. Spiritually very filled. And he had this deal that he made with his loved ones, with his friends, that he would return back on the anniversary of his death. He happened to have died on Halloween night, 1926. And every year since then, on Halloween night, there are people who conduct seances trying to bring back the spirit of Houdini, wanting to know what there is on the other side of life, what is on the other side of that barrier. And until today, Houdini has not reappeared, has not communicated with anyone in the sense that anyone could understand. And certainly we are left with the same questions. And you know what? You're going to be filled with those same questions. And there are people who could fill it up with nice little pictures and other people with scary pictures. But the bottom line is that each of these things that we come across, these celebrations, such as Hallow's Eve, Halloween, are opportunities for us to talk. Just like the election are opportunities for us to think about our faith, our spiritual life, that you and I are not single-dimensioned entities. We are not just body, but we have soul, spirit, and that spirit needs a bit of nurturing too. It's not just what we pump into our bodies, but our souls are craving too. You look around you and you see that's the craving that everyone has. And so we fill it up with all kinds of different excuses for the world beyond, and we come up with ghosts and goblins and creatures. And one of the fun things that happens around Halloween time is the placing of masks. We place masks on our faces to do what? To hide ourselves. And it's so nice when you open up a door and you see a little kid come up to you with this just horrendous look, and he goes, "Trick or treat." Or this beautiful, beautiful little girl with it donning the mask of this ugly witch with a wart on her nose. I remember when my niece got dressed up as a witch, I couldn't even look at her. She was so precious, and then they put on this ugly, ugly face on her. But what's the purpose of that? To hide, and we say trick or treat. Basically, figure out who I am. And I always love to do that when I open the door. It's like you look at the little kids and you try to figure out who's under there, if you might know them. Before you give them a little candy, take a few minutes to just talk to them. Don't be like those people who just like throw a piece of candy, like throwing a bone to a dog. This is a fun time on Halloween. Have some fun talking with the kids and engaging in a little bit of laughter and enjoyment. And certainly on Halloween day, when people are wearing their masks, it's an opportunity for you and I to think about some of the big time masks that we put on. You know, there's a lot of masks that cover up ourselves. They cover up ourselves for our protection. They're probably our first line of defense against pain. Sometimes we've been hurt so much, we want to hide the pain. Sometimes it is very difficult to admit the pain that we have, and we put on these masks. We smile when we should be crying. We look enthusiastically when we are just dead bored. And instead of being true to ourselves, we engage in this hypocrisy. So that when we remove the masks, many times those masks are drenched with our tears, filled with our feelings of inadequacy, of self-doubt, and lower self-worth. And unfortunately, if we keep on those masks a little too much, our faces, our personalities begin to conform to those masks. And we forget really who the real person is. And so on this Halloween, as we look at different saints and we look at the challenge that they give you and me, in other words, with all of our difficulties, can we rise to the occasion? Like knowing that so-and-so hurt me, knowing that I have these incredible challenges, physical, emotional, spiritual, relationship challenges, can I really take off those masks and say that, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. It may hurt. I may have to shed a few extra tears, but I want to get through it. I want to be true to myself. I don't want to engage in hypocrisy. I don't want to look good on the outside when I'm really hurting on the inside. If people love me for who I am, I need to be open enough to love them back and say, here, take a look. I'm hurting. Here is my heart. Here is my soul. I want to share this with you. You know, that's really a big challenge. It's a difficult one. I am not going to pretend that this is easy. Taking off masks is not an easy challenge that I'm putting you up to, but it's definitely one that you need to do. It's one every single one of us need to do, because the hypocrisy sometimes gets so great that we lose sight of who we are and what we live for. Look at the masks that people put on, and sometimes, unfortunately, the church itself, this beautiful church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, promotes the putting on of masks. People who have no clue of what faith is about, or even what Christ is about, will write a check out of national obligations. And they somehow rise to the occasion and they become the celebrities of the day. They become these champions and these heroes, not the saints that they should be. In other words, not people that are leading the exemplary lives, but have somehow amassed fortunes and are now placed on that pedestal for us to look at, with different kinds of awards, with different kinds of medallions that are spread out over their breasts. And we look at them and we say, look at that! There is somebody we should pattern our life after. Certainly those kind of examples make a mockery out of the entire idea of sainthood. The entire idea of having exemplary peoples that we can look up to. And I challenge you really to look beyond. I mean, isn't that the reason why we're doing these podcasts anyway? To claim that there is something that outshines what we have presented as a church. Because that church has the elements of human frailty, but certainly the faith in itself is pure. And so by teaching the faith, can we understand that there is a place for these saints in our lives, for us to look at their lives and say that, yes, if they did it, I can do it too. And now imagine what we have now. We have the heroes built in to the faith for our children to emulate. Just think about it for a moment. Do you need to find a hero now on Nickelodeon? Do you need to go to the movie to find a hero when you've got someone like a Vartan, when you've got someone like an Ashken, when you've got the saints to pattern a life after? Think about it with a little bit of creativity rather than just go with the flow. Make Halloween an opportunity to talk, express, and to live the faith. It's just a little bit of creativity, and it's the same creativity that it takes to make a pumpkin head on somebody than it does to decorate that head with a beautiful crown and say that today you are Queen Ashken. And Queen Ashken was the woman who inspired our Christianity, who gave the strength to our Christianity. Or today, it takes the same amount of strength and imagination to really curl up people's hairs into these strange, bizarre types as it does to take a moment and, let's say give a mohawk haircut and say, you are now donning the helmet of Vartan. And Vartan was the one who stood up against every possible evil in the world and stood up despite the odds. And you can stand up too. Even when the going gets tough, you can stand up because you know that with God, you're in the majority. I mean, there are so many opportunities for us to really expand our faith, and that's what each of these are, whether it's Halloween, or whether it's an election, whether it's a Saints' Day, a feast day, Memorial Day. Each of these has to be opportunities for us to plug into that second portion of our lives, not the physical only, but the spiritual and the emotional. And so I challenge you really to take that opportunity and make the best of it this Halloween as well as every day. Well, last week I had this great opportunity to meet with Warren Goodman. He is a prisoner up at San Luis Obispo, and he is his story is on our website. He's living out a life sentence because of a crime that he didn't commit. And just shortly, we're going to be introducing his blog to you, because we made arrangements so from prison he could start blogging and telling you all about that life. And that's going to be coming up in the next couple weeks. Next week, we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Gala. She works for a group called the Halo Trust. Yes, the Halo. That little light beam on top of the saints' heads. Yes, those are halos. But she really does some saint work. Actually, not her. She works for the group that does it, because they go into areas that have been hit by war, whether it's in Afghanistan or in Iraq, but certainly in Karabakh, where you have the largest per capita casualties because of landmines and unexploded bombs that have remained after the war. So they go in and they clear off those mines. And she's going to be our guest next week, and we'll be talking on this podcast. We'll be looking into what makes her tick, what makes the organization tick, and how we can all become part of that halo. So that's coming up next week. We've got a lot of things up on our website. We hope you will tune in to inhisshoes.org, where you can get just about all the information you need.
No brag, just fact.
I mean, anything that's worthwhile is up there. So I hope you'll point your browsers in that direction. There's a few different places where we're blogging, where we're talking, and there's a lot of good activity that, by the grace of God and with your faithful support, is just really flourishing and moving forward. But we do need your support. We do need your help, especially during these difficult economic times. It's hitting all of us. If you'd like to make a donation to this podcast to make sure that it continues, and especially if you want to help in purchase of equipment, we can use some sizable donations. You could just direct your inquiries directly to me, or just drop a line to feedback@epostle.net, or just let us know that you're listening and enjoying it. And I always thank you for those comments. I sometimes don't get a chance to answer them all individually, but I do read every single one of them. I want to assure you of that. I do read every single email that we get at the feedback@epostle.net address.
No brag.
Well, that about does it for this week. I hope you'll join us again next week. And do me a favor, those of you who are listening on the CDs, make sure you pass it along to your friends and your families. And remember the easiest way, epostle.net. And this, as well as all of our podcasts, are archived on that site and are ready to be listened to any time of day or night, 24/7. That's what we're about, because Epostle, they're doing apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. Today's show was produced by Susie and engineered by Ken, who happens to be sitting there today in that booth, smelling all that delicious Chinese food, which is seeping out into our newly cleaned and revamped studio. Well, this is Father Roskin, hoping that you will join us again next week, when we will take the next step.